Lecture.
سید باقر القزوینی.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. I begin in the name of the Almighty God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, the one who has created everything in utmost perfection. And may the peace and blessings of the Almighty God be upon His pure and beloved messenger, the peak of His creation, the best role model for humanity, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And His immaculate progeny of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, especially the leader of our time, the awaited Savior, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allah the Almighty states in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, خلق الإنسان من عجل. The human being has been created in haste. The nature of the human being is to be hasty. صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد. When we examine these days the technological advancements that are occurring in our society and the scientific progress that we see that the pace of advancement is truly mind-boggling. Every several days, weeks, months, there is a new invention, there is new progress, there is a new scientific breakthrough. And the pace of our technology is increasing at an amazingly alarming rate. Now, one problem, one challenge that our technology has presented to us with its fast-paced technology is that it really has taken away the patience of the human being. But this is the price that comes with our technology. Yes, we benefit from our technology. But at the same time, our technology comes with a price. The price of it is the loss of patience. It's this culture of instant gratification. We instantly want to gratify ourselves. We want to achieve our desires. So one way in which we can offer a solution to this culture of instant gratification and save ourselves is by constantly reminding ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in order to test us. Number two, the second solution that we can apply in our everyday life is that we, respected brothers and sisters, we need to realize that if we give in to temptation, to our desires, we succumb to our temptations, we are actually losing our true self-worth. Because the hadith from the commander of the faithful, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. The Imam alayhi salam, in a beautiful narration, he says, the one who cannot fight his desires, the one who cannot control himself, restrain himself, this person does not have real dignity. When you examine that you have a great dignity given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Imam says this makes it easier for you to restrain yourself. That's why in another hadith, the Imam says, Al-Haris Asiru Mahana. The human being who's greedy, who constantly wants to gratify himself, the Imam says this person is perpetually locked in a cage. This person is imprisoned. He is enslaved to his desires. So in order for us to lift ourselves, realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us honor and dignity. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have given honor, dignity, a great status to the children of Adam. Don't let these desires enslave you. I remember once a young man, I went to Florida for the month of Ramadan. He came to me and he said, Sayyid, I'm really struggling. Please help me. I feel that I always need to wear these, you know, fancy, expensive brand name shirts. I want to buy everything that's expensive, an expensive watch, an expensive car. And when I do that, I feel good about myself. Please help me. I know this is not right. I know that this should not be my goal in life. I told him, listen, imagine the karama, the dignity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Isn't it higher than the angels potentially? He said, yes. I told him, look at what you've done to yourself. You need a piece of cloth, which is probably made in China. It's not worth more than $5 to feel good about yourself. Is this the value of yourself? That you equate yourself with a piece of shirt, with an object, with a materialistic object. The Imam says when you've allowed yourself to stoop to that level, then you've lost yourself. You've become enslaved to these desires and temptations. Therefore, the human being sometimes should be proud, have pride, and say, I will not allow myself to stoop to that level. And allow the power of anger to actually help you, because the power of anger in such areas is required. Yes, feel angry about yourself. How have I made myself so low? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated my status. Feel angry about yourself and allow this anger to actually elevate you in life. So this is the second solution that we can apply in our lives. The third solution, that when the human being finds himself drowning in this culture of instant gratification, realize, respected brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does actually instantly reward us or punish us. We simply don't see it. When you do something good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instantly creates the reward for you. But there is a veil that does not allow us to see it. Once the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he was amongst his companions, and he told them that when a believer says Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in paradise constructs a palace for you. And in order for you to send building material to that palace, you say this phrase. Every time you say it, a brick is created for you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala builds that palace for you. You know, one of the companions, the famous companion, he told him, Ya Rasulullah, that's very great. So if we keep on saying this, then we have huge palaces and huge gardens in paradise. The Prophet told them that if you say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-ali al-azim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you gardens in paradise. So this companion was actually excited. The Prophet, peace be upon him, told him, but I give you a warning. When you sin, you can also send a fireball that destroys all that which you've constructed. So in reality, if the veil were to be removed, realize that everything is instant. When you do a good action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instantly has given you a reward. Don't forget that. And when you do a negative sin, a negative action in life, realize that the action, the effect is also instant. I simply don't see it. But the effect is there, it's created. It creates this negative environment around me. And eventually it takes me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it requires patience for us to see beyond that veil, brothers and sisters. We as believers, this is how we should view this life. And this is what we learned from our master, Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. When you examine the end result in mind, when you realize that you as a believer, you're walking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else matters in life. It's like a person who's traveling in the midst of the deserts. They're tired, they're in fatigue, they're poor, they're starving, they're thirsty. But they're being told, listen, just walk a few more hours and you will go to that palace and we'll make you the king of this palace. Do you think the journey will be difficult? Physically, yes, it's difficult. But spiritually speaking, mentally speaking, psychologically speaking, when you see that castle ahead of you and you're walking towards it and you know that within hours all your pain and misery will end and you will be the king of that village, that city, that country, whatever it is, you think it becomes difficult? We as believers, respected brothers and sisters, we are going towards that castle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us, and we're walking towards it. Whenever you find yourself in difficulty and pain, Just keep that image ahead of you. And the exact opposite applies to the believers. Imagine if you live in a castle, wonderful, you've got everything, but you know that within hours, you actually have to leave. They'll evict you. You will no longer stay to be blessed in this castle. You think you'll enjoy it? What's the point? Leading the best life in this world, but then one day we have to depart this life. We have to leave everything behind. What's the point? What goodness does that do to us? By constantly remembering this, respected brothers, we can save ourselves from this culture of instant gratification. And whenever you're in difficulty, realize that it will not last forever. We human beings, because sometimes we are weak, we tend to lose hope. When we are suffering from something, we think that's it. No one can save us. What, do you doubt the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is why losing hope is one of the greatest sins a human being can ever make, because when you lose hope, you actually doubt the power and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never doubt the power and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any bad situation can change. They say one day there was this man, he was passing by a village, and he saw this other man working on a farmland. And you know, in this farmland, there was a manual mill, which was normally attached to a donkey. The donkey would work on this mill and it would do the job. Now this man realized that instead of the donkey, a man had to do all that heavy work. He was attached to this mill and he was running and sweating and he was extremely exhausted. So he said, let me ask him what's wrong. He approached him, he told him, look, what's going on? Why are you doing this job? He says, well, my master, he doesn't have a donkey, so he's using me to replace this position, and I'm doing this job. He says, that's so mean of him. How could he do that to you under the hot sun? And you're doing this for hours and hours, this physical manual labor? He told him, look, this will end. Don't worry about it. I won't be stuck in this position forever. There will come an end. So he left him. Next year, he came back to the same town. He said, you know what? Let me pay this guy a visit, see what happened to him. He went to the farmland. He couldn't find him. He saw a very big shop there. He entered the shop and he saw this man who was the slave of that master. He was sitting in the shop. He tells him, what happened? I see you in this shop. You're no longer working in the farmland. He tells him, well, my master passed away and he had no children. He only left his wife and she inherited all of his property. His wife came up to me and she told me, look, I don't trust anyone in this village. I only know you and I trust you. You've worked very hard for my master. So can I give you all of our wealth and you do as you please. You go, you do a shop, you work and split the money. Half for you, half for myself. And since I've lost my husband, I'm willing to even marry you. So he says, subhanAllah, you got the best of everything. You got the farmlands, you got the money, and you even got the wife of your master. This is very good. Congratulations. He tells him, look, this also will not last. Just like that one didn't last, this also will not last. So don't make me too excited about this. He left the village. Next year he came. He says, you know what? Let me pay a visit to him. Let me see what happened to him. This is a true story. So he went to visit him. He asked about him. They told him that he passed away. He died. So he realized that this actually didn't last. On that evening, on that night, he sees his friend who passed away in his dream. He sees him in a wonderful castle. He was a good, faithful man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him. He tells him, tell me, how's it going? How's this afterlife? He tells him, alhamdulillah, I'm in the best position. But let me tell you, now this one will always and always last. This one now is never going to end. And this is the reality of this life. We have to understand that every situation, every circumstance, respected brothers and sisters, can change. It can sometimes change overnight. So never lose hope from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salli ala Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Muhammad. وآل محمد. Now, the fourth or fifth solution that we can implement in our life in order to save ourselves from this culture of instant gratification, we need to realize that change comes gradually, brothers and sisters. When we want instant results, always remind yourself that if you want the best change, it has to come gradually. Don't expect your habits to leave you overnight. Create a program for yourself and then allow yourself to be rid of those habits. You know, one interesting thing about our lives is that when we want to change ourselves, when we want to change our lives, seldom do we make room for the goodness in our lives. Let me give you an example. If you have a cup of water that's filled with dirty water, and you want to remove this dirty water and put clean water in it, how do you go about doing that? You know, we human beings, what we do when we want to change our lives, we take the clean water and we pour it in this cup on the dirty water. Now, what have you done when you do that? The water overspills, you make a bigger mess, and you don't really solve the problem. Yes, the water was very dirty, now it's half dirty, but you did not rid yourself from this dirty water. Brothers and sisters, oftentimes in this life, our heart, just like this cup, it's filled with things that take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to see closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You need to empty this heart for Allah. Because in one hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm the best partner. If you give 99% of your heart to me and 1% to anything besides me, I give up that 99% to that partner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a pure heart from us. So we have to open our hearts, make room for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you a life with good habits, get rid of the old habits, make room for these new habits. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate you. Oftentimes we forget that. We want this, you know, very unclean heart to be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the power to clean your heart with the water of faith, with the clean water of the religion of Islam. Once you've done that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will occupy your heart. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala occupies your heart, brothers and sisters, do you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does to you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. He tells him, oh David, do you know what my treasure is? Prophet Dawood alayhi salam says, oh Allah, you tell me. Is it the universe, the vastness of this universe, the galaxies? What is your treasure? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, oh David, my treasure is not the vastness of this universe. It's not the gold, it's not the silver, it's not anything else. It's the beloved heart of my believer. That's the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine how valuable such a heart is, such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers it a very valuable treasure. Never forget that, brothers and sisters. This is the biggest rahmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in our life. On these nights, let's open our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because once you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't care about anything else in the world. There was this man decades ago in Iran, in Mashhad. One day, you know, he used to work at the shrine of an Imam al-Ridha salawatullahi alayhi. This man, as he used to work in the shrine, one day he was told, we have to empty the shrine of the Imam. The daughter of the king, her name was Gauhar Shad, she wants to come and visit. In her respect, in her honor, and she was a very faithful woman, everyone has to leave. This man, the shaitan, whispers to him. He tells him, look, this is your perfect opportunity to see her, because he had heard that she was a very beautiful woman. Let me see her, let me get a glimpse of her. So he goes and hides in one corner, and they don't know that he was hiding there. She comes inside the shrine. She visits the shrine and he gets a good look of her face. Now the minute that he sees her and he looks at her face, he falls deeply in love with her. SubhanAllah, love at first sight. This is the biggest disaster that sometimes happens to people. He looked at her and he was infatuated. He looked at her, he was infatuated with her. He went back to his house. He told her, "Mother, you know what? I don't want to live anymore." She tells him, "What happened to you? You were good. Did someone threaten you?" He says, "No, today I saw Gauharshad at the shrine. I'm in love with her, but I know I don't have a chance because I'm just a servant and she's daughter of the king. How will she ever marry me? So, oh mother, I'm so depressed. I don't want to live anymore." Now his mother feels bad. As the days go by, she realizes that her son is suffering. He doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to do anything. He's fell in this deep depression. So he begs her. He says, "Mother, please do something for me. I'm going to die if you don't." So she says, "You know what? Let me go to her palace and let me see. Let me knock on her door. Let me give it a try. Let's see what happens." Because her son insisted. He says, "Mother, I want to marry her. Go and ask for her hand." She tells him, "Are you crazy? You really think you want me to propose to her? They'll kick me out of the castle." But once he keeps on insisting, she goes. She goes to the castle. She visits Gauharshad. And she tells her, "Look, I'm very embarrassed to say this, but I'm saying it because I love my son. Remember a few days ago when you went to the shrine? Now he unfortunately was hiding in there and he saw you and now he's in love with you and there's nothing that I can do to save him, to help him. And he has asked me if you're willing to marry him. I know this sounds silly, this sounds crazy, but I promised my son I'd do this for him." To her surprise, Gauharshad said, "Yes, I accept. I am willing to marry your son on one condition." She tells him, "Are you serious? Are you making a joke out of me? Or is this serious?" She says, "No, I swear by God I'm serious. On one condition. If your son prays Salat al-Layl, the midnight prayer, for 40 days, then I will accept to marry him. She tells her, "Are you serious? This is so easy. Obviously he's going to do it." She says, "That's the only condition I pray." She's so happy, she does not believe what she heard from the daughter of the king. She runs towards her house to her son, "My son, I've got great news for you. SubhanAllah, Allah has answered your prayer and she's accepted to marry you. She just has the small little condition." He says, "Anything, I'll do anything for her. What does she want?" She told him, "You have to pray Salat al-Layl for 40 days, 40 nights, and then we'll go and ask her hand." So that night, unlike any other night, he gets up in the middle of the night, so much energy, so refreshed, you know, just like millions of people who woke up at 3 a.m. to pre-order the iPhone, right? And many of us probably did that. And it's interesting when you ask yourself, because I saw a lot of my friends, they did that. And I asked them, you know, "Did you ever get up at 3 a.m. for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You did so for a piece of device, right? But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when's the last time we actually did that?" It's amazing how the human being functions in this life. So that night, he gets up, he does his wudu, and he prays Salat al-Layl. Now on that first night, who did he really pray for? It wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was for that woman. But then the second night, the third night, he prays all of these 40 nights. After 40 days, Gauharshad is waiting in her castle for this person to come. They don't show up. 40 days pass by, 45 days, 50, 60. So she sends one of her servants to their house. "Go to them, see what happened. Are they alive? Are they dead? They didn't come back." So they go and they ask for his mother. His mother comes to the castle and she sees Gauharshad. Gauharshad tells her, "Didn't we have a date? Didn't we have an appointment that after 40 days you would come?" She tells her, "Look, I'm really, really embarrassed this time. I really couldn't come and tell you what happened." She tells him, "Why tell me what happened? Did he pray Salat al-Layl for 40 days? Did he do the agreement we had?" She tells him, "Yes, he did pray Salat al-Layl. And on the first night, honestly, he was praying for you. The second night for you. The third night for you. The fourth night for you. But after he completed the 40 days, he forgot all about you. And now he fell in love with someone else. He fell in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we did not come back." Gauharshad was a very wise person. She told the mother, "That's what I was looking for. And this is why I wanted him to pray Salat al-Layl, because I wanted to teach him there's someone more worthy of me. And when you see the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no beauty in this life can captivate your heart." Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa
Now, one final area in our life that requires a close examination of how the culture of instant gratification is creating problems for us, respected brothers and sisters, is the area of social networking. We have two very big challenges when it comes to the area of social networking. Number one, because the area of social networking, it's virtual, many people, you see them, that they feed on this idea of instant gratification. They become so obsessed with the social networking, with sites like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it really becomes an obsession that many of our youth are facing. We have to be aware of this phenomenon in our society, brothers and sisters. In fact, scientists these days, they've come up with a new type of depression. A new type of depression in medical books. You know what they call it? Facebook depression. Can you imagine? People who are so obsessed with Facebook posts, with the amount of likes that they get, they're actually obsessed. And this is harming them, their academic life, their psychological well-being. You know, there is this 19-year-old UK youth who actually committed suicide because he was so obsessed from taking selfies and posting them on, you know, Instagram, posting them on Twitter, posting them on Facebook and these other social networking sites. And this is really a big problem for us. We need to understand that we have to control ourselves. We need to limit our time that we spend on this. Yes, if it's for something productive, do it. That's fine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. But don't waste time. You know, heavy users of social networking sites, they're 5 times more likely to fall in drugs, to go to alcohol, to fall to depression. And the University of Michigan did research that concluded that those people who were constantly online and using those, you know, social networking sites, these people felt worse and worse the more and more they used social networking sites. And their life satisfaction declined. And the second challenge that it presents to us, brothers and sisters, because the human being, we have an area in our brain that has so much activity when we disclose information, when people respond to us, when people give us likes, is that unfortunately we are posting more and more private information. Everything these days that goes on in our homes, in the bedroom, in the kitchen, what happens with the kids, the fights between husbands and wives, everything you find it on Facebook. SubhanAllah, Forbes magazine last year, they said Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, did what the CIA could not do in 60 years. Because over 1 billion people every day, they're freely giving every detail about their lives. Freely telling the world what's going on in their homes. Brothers, have mercy on yourself. When you post that image online, think 10 times before you do it. Is this appropriate? Or is this something which should be kept private? Because once you click that button, you can never, ever undo it till the day of judgment. Have mercy on yourself. One day you could regret what you posted, what you said, the photos that you posted of yourself. This is a real challenge that we are observing in our society's respected brothers. So let's take the message of the Imam alayhi salam, because you know what the problem is, what happened in Karbala? In the land of Karbala, when Umar ibn Sa'd arrived Karbala, the Imam alayhi salam requested a meeting with him. Look at the mercy of this compassionate heart. The Imam alayhi salam sent one of his companions to the other side. Umar ibn Sa'd, I want to see you. Umar ibn Sa'd comes to the Imam alayhi salam. Remember, this guy was the commander of Yazid's army, of Ibn Ziyad's army. The Imam alayhi salam tells him, why are you fighting me? Do you not know that I am the grandson of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him? Why are you fighting me? Come and join me, leave these evil people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. He tells him, Hussein, I can't. He tells him, why can't you tell me? He says, I'm afraid if I leave them and join you, they will demolish my house. Look at the instant gratification. That desire pulling him. And it could pull any human being. This is a lesson for us. This is why these people failed in Karbala. The Imam alayhi salam told him, listen, I will compensate you and I will build you a better home. Allahu Akbar. The Imam alayhi salam is giving you such a beautiful offer that he'll give you the money to buy a better home. He refused. He says, but I'm afraid they will take my property. They'll confiscate my farmlands. The Imam alayhi salam told him, in Medina, I can give you better farmlands. Come and I will give them to you. Avoid these people. Don't fight me. He kept on making excuse after excuse. He told him, oh Hussein, he's promised him that he will make me the governor of Ray. The Imam alayhi salam says, there is no use in trying to negotiate with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blinded your heart. He could not resist, brothers and sisters. This is the lesson for us. If we do not train ourselves to resist against our temptations and desires, our fate could be very similar to the fate of Umar ibn Sa'd. Only by rising above our desires and temptations can we actually achieve success and be true followers of Ali Muhammad al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illa Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.